Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, 20th October 2024. We'll be continuing our sharing from the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 84, lesson 15. Okay, we will, as usual, compose our mind, develop the Sada, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhan Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Dishang Wang Pusa, Namo Dishang Wang Pusa, Namo Dishang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namasami Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Sanghang namami Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara Viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana Viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Yadidam chatari purisa yukkani at Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Saukkasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyanketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, Sadhu. Turn to lesson 15, page 84. So this is the 15th Heart Sutta class, dated 10 June 2012, which is about 12 years ago. Okay, today's topic is a continuation from lesson 14. It's about the mind, understanding the mind. Both the mundane mind and the true mind, or what we call the final aspect of consciousness. Okay, 1.1. Mind is the forerunner of all things. So this is a famous saying by the Buddha. He always begin the Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 with this starting phrase. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief, and mind make a day. Then when mind arise, all things arise. This shows the importance of understanding this so-called mind. And this mind is termed the mundane mind, the dependent originating mind. The true mind is just perfect awareness. It's just awareness nature. before the arising of thought, before the knowing, before the stirring and reaction, before the content of consciousness through the memory goes in. So all this, we will develop the understanding through this sharing. Eh? Okay. According to Lord Buddha, he said, our mind, which is the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. And when mind arises, all things arise. That's why the Buddha also said, mind make a day. Hence, through our mental consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness, all of the physical, mental and nature's phenomena within life and existence. And all this arises from the definition that we have already developed. What is a phenomena? Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So through this, we come to understand why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. And when mind arises, all things arise. Because mind, the mundane mind, is capable of mental consciousness. And through mental consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness. And within the phenomenal world of consciousness, there are three type of consciousness which we can divide them so that they cover all aspects of phenomena. First is the physical phenomena within all physical things, especially our physical body. Then we have the mental phenomena that manifests through perception of mind, activity and objects. Then finally, our ability to perceive nature's phenomena. So whatever that is perceived through our mundane mind regarding the physical, mental and nature's phenomenal aspect, they cover the whole spectrum of life and existence, all of phenomena. So this understanding is very important because as a living being, in particular, ours as a human being, we have a physical body with our basic five senses and the brain, which is our sixth sense organ. Yeah. Then, because we have the consciousness trapped inside, yeah, and there is the life force that gives rise to the what they call life force energy, or can make us conscious. Yeah. So that life force that continue to pump our heart is what we call our karmic force or life force that manifests and trigger the form and mind to become alive. So that's how we animate into a living being, a human being. And when that mind arises, all things arise. Well, whatever that follow are due to our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, our memory, whatever we store through our memory. There, from there, we act. Before you have the wisdom, you act according to memory. That's why, through mental consciousness, we perceive the phenomenal world. So through mental consciousness, we also perceive them based on our views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. That's how we entangle ourselves with the karmic process. Because whatever input as content of consciousness is all following our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, accumulated phobia, scars of memory, insecurity, etc. So all this, because you lack wisdom, they bring about delusion. So delusion means the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are there. You don't have right view. That's why all of the arising of thought initially before one become enlightened is most of the time wrong thought. Yeah. Because we lack the wisdom to enable us to understand and not to stir our mind. So all this mundane thinking, mundane arising, they bring forth what we call sakkayaditi, self-delusion, that condition our wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong way of living life. So this is how the mental intention that goes in to become the content of consciousness before one become enlightened, they are all negative, most of them. Yeah. Especially the one that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So this word, mind, is the forerunner of all things, is very important, very powerful. In Mandarin, it's called 一切为心造, 心造成的. Everything is created by the mind. Manifestation from mind. Okay, then the next paragraph is contemplative wisdom. This contemplative wisdom, which is the second turning wisdom, can arise when your mind is silent. When you silence your mind to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into all the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. So be aware and mindful of all physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within your form and mind, within your daily life, to see clearly their moment of arising, sustaining, and passing away. Of all these three phenomena, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, thereby realizing the penetrative wisdom born of bhavana maya panya, or the third turning, via cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. So this part very important. That's why you have to constantly reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Then develop the second turning wisdom. Okay, the next paragraph. This is meditative understanding. With the silent mind in pure awareness, one can be aware of all the vibration and phenomena within our form and mind. One will be able to perceive deeper into our mind consciousness. All phenomena can be perceived via the silent mind, and it can also witness how they come and they go, how they arise and pass away, their birth and death, etc. That's why when you are silent, you can see things as they are. You can see all this manifestation. Then you will develop the understanding. Hence, you will realize their impermanent characteristics and empty nature or non-self nature, not a permanent unchanging entity within. So the non-self nature is also very important. You will see them everywhere, from your bodily vibration to your heartbeat, your pulse of life, your feeling, your thought processes, and every moment of perception and consciousness, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, etc. You only have to silence your mind to see them all as they are. What is perceived via your mundane or thinking mind is not a real condition, because they arise via thought, which is respond to memory. The reality of pure perception, which is before the knowing, is very different. That is the direct seeing, to see things as they are. So most of our perception is through memory. That's why it's via the thought process, which is not the pure perception. Okay, we go on to the next paragraph. human being have the tendency to react to sense experience. And this is very true because of ignorance. So at the moment of sense experience, because of avijja, ignorance, the lack of Dhamma understanding and right view, you tend to react to sense experience. So this tendency to react and stir your mind, is very, very common. It happens almost every moment, every instant of most human beings' mind. So this tendency to react to sense experience is due to ignorance, sakkayaditti, wrong understanding. You cannot be at peace at the moment of sense experience. So to solve human beings' problem or suffering, one needs the Dhamma understanding. The Dhamma understanding is very important. That's why I always say, life without Dhamma is not easy to cope. That's why living being without Dhamma suffer a lot. Without the Dhamma understanding, there will be delusion and ignorance with regards to understanding who you are and what you are. Then without self-knowledge, one will grasp and cling onto one's five aggregates of form and mind, hence conditioning one's suffering or dukkha. That's why the first Noble Truth final summary, the Buddha said, in short, it's due to one's sakkayaditti or self-delusion that one gets entangled in life. So due to sakkayaditti or self-delusion, you grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that they are real and they are you. That's how the karmic negativity arises. Okay, we share further, we move on. Samsara or wheel of life within existence can also take the form of man and nature must harmonize. So this one I have spoken before. So to go through life, you got to go through the birth and death, or cycle of birth and death. We call it samsara. Then the wheel of life within existence is also samsara. So within nature, there are five universal order of nature that governs all of life at nature. These five pancha niyama or universal order, two of them are scientific, which we have gone through. Uttu niyama or the physical law of nature, and bija niyama, which is the biological order of nature. And there are three other spiritual law, which we call the law of karma, law of mind, and law of, The other three are the spiritual law. Law of karma or karma niyama, and law of mind or citta niyama. And finally, the law of truth or dhamma niyama. So these three spiritual laws are very important. When you have the right understanding or right view with regards to this pancha niyamas or the five universal order or law of nature, which are like the secret of life to us, then you will understand how to live life. Means you not only understand life, you know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you will know how to experience all of the wonders and beauty of life. Then life will become very meaningful and beautiful. That is, true emptiness is wonderful existence. This comes from a famous saying in the Heart Sutta, Zhen Kong Miao Yu. So likewise, understanding the three right views with regards to law of karma, law of mind, or the Four Noble Truths, and the law of dependent origination, or the dwelling, is very important. But it can transform our understanding of the Dhamma to enable us to live the noble life. Then we move on. Then I explain why thought is limited and egoic. Hence, it cannot feel. This mind here refers to mundane mind, mundane thought process or mundane thinking. That's why this mundane mind, the thought, is limited and egoic. Hence, it cannot free you. True mind is only pure awareness without thought. And this one is very important. When you are without thought, that is your true mind. And it's only the pure awareness nature without thought. As such, it can see things as they are without the conditioning. One will come to understand clearly what the Buddha meant by in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is before the knowing and before the delusion or sakkayaditti carries through to condition you into grasping and clinging onto what you see. Your craving or reactive mental response or intention is due to your habitual tendency born of wrong view. So this craving or reactive mental intention is due to our habitual tendency born of wrong view that we developed earlier on. Okay, next part, 1.2. Understanding thought and consciousness. Now this one is very important and very beautiful also. So what is the difference between consciousness and thought? If you are mindful, aware, then you can see them and you will understand their big difference. So I will read to you the summarized part. Once we input the content of consciousness into our awareness nature, then consciousness becomes a thought. Hence, thought equals consciousness plus its content. So this is like the physics experiment. When you make contact between the power bank, connect to the organ or the whatever that lights up the place, light bulb or whatever. So their respective consciousness sense data will be what you use for it to arise. So in our case, is the thought process. So thought equals to the pure awareness plus its content. When you input the content of consciousness, it becomes a thought. It's like you become conscious. You are conscious of life. Then you have the awareness to see clearly what are the mental intention behind all of your action. Means the content of consciousness that you input into and trigger of it into a thought process, then labeling it right thought, wrong thought, or wholesome and unwholesome thought. So always remember, pure awareness without the content is not the thought yet. But once the content of consciousness goes in, the thought manifests. And this one can be trained. That's why a lot of new meditators who don't know how to go into the pure awareness nature, through their inner awareness, they can see how they manifest thought. How thought can control them or condition them into negativity, the duality, etc. Okay, I will read on. Initially, before the knowing or the arising of thought, there is just this spacious awareness. So, like before, I will explain again. Because the first thing to come out from our nature is our pure awareness. And this one is no without word, without anything. Pure awareness. We just aware. Then the content of consciousness come in. So this initial knowing or the arising of thought is very different from the pure awareness. The pure awareness is just an awareness nature without thought, before the perception, before the knowing, before the arising of this mundane thought process. So initially, before the knowing or the arising of the thought, there is just this spacious awareness from our nature, pure spacious awareness. Then the moment you want to know something, you need to focus. That's why the moment you focus on something, you can input the content of consciousness based on your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system, even your education background, etc. So you input the content of consciousness, then your consciousness becomes limited or restricted based on that thought that you create. Take for example, the seeing consciousness. Initially, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. But the moment you are preoccupied with what you see, and without the wisdom or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, then the egoic mind, born of self-delusion or wrong view, will, with regards to the atta or self, will arise. So here I put has already arisen, causing you to grasp and cling onto what you see. Then your habitual tendency of like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant mind state will arise to condition your mental hindrance of mind to arise. As form is the product of thought. Hence, thought cannot see form. As form is a product of thought. Hence, thought can see form. But form cannot see thought. Your thought has got higher intelligence than form. So, form is a product of thought, must be understood. Why is form a product of thought? Because scientists have realized the formula, law of conservation of mass and energy, E equals to mc squared. When you have a mass, you multiply by the speed of light squared. That is the energy that it will release. So this E equals to mc squared means the energy that is released dependent on the mass and the speed of light. That's why our thought process, everything, the intense energy from the Big Bang, everything, they can give rise to form. That's why form is a product of thought. Hence, thought can see form. That's why our senses can perceive the external phenomenal world of form. Then, likewise, since our thought is a product of our awareness, from our pure awareness nature, we input the content of consciousness, then it triggers off the thought. So our so-called thought is a product of awareness. Hence, awareness can see or become aware of thought. But thought cannot see awareness. Your awareness has got higher intelligence than thought, which is limited and egoic. So this one, you must have the silent mind to develop the direct seeing, the understanding. Otherwise, you cannot understand. That's why our awareness, when we are silent, we can be aware of the thought process, the content of consciousness, everything, and all the movement. But thought, which is the product of awareness, cannot see awareness because it's lower intelligence. So this is how to the silent mind, the pure awareness-based meditation, you can insight into phenomena and awaken to realize the truth. Then you can also see things as they are. And you can also silence all your mind to insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Okay, then we go to the next section. Section 1.3. Important inquiries for developing the meditative wisdom. So when we are mindful, we should inquire and develop the understanding. Are the feeling, perception, sankhara or mental formation or mental states and consciousness that arise in you really what you are? Yeah, so a lot of people cannot understand. That's why when you ask, are the aggregates of mind, like feeling, activity of mind, perception, then mind states, mental intention, etc., even the consciousness that arises in you, are they really you? Are they what you are? Then the second part of the inquiry is, if feeling and perception, etc., means the five aggregates that arise and pass away are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you did not die? So that is a great awakening. If that is the case, means they are not you. If they are not you, then why did they arise in you? That is the third inquiry. So who are you? And what are you? If these five aggregates of form and mind are not you, then why did they arise in you? That's why this inquiry will allow you to develop the wisdom to awaken. So this one I have gone through before. But for new people, it's good for you to go through. Otherwise, you cannot develop the understanding. So this five aggregate of form and mind, our physical body, there is a first aggregate. The first aspect of the five aggregate, the physical form. Then there is the second aspect of the five aggregate, where the mental form enters the mind through the perception aggregates. So the four mind aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness also have a mental form, external form, which enters the mind through what we call the aggregates of perception or sanya. That makes it into a five aggregate too. So the moment you perceive, then that mind cognizes, recognizes. So when cognition brings the external form into the mind, that becomes content of consciousness. And through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, you develop the moral causation of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then your content of consciousness will have the moral causation inside there. That's how it triggers the moral causation to enable karmic activity to arise. That's why every arising of mind constitutes karmic activity or reaction. So we need to silence our mind to see clearly and develop the clear understanding. If they arise and pass away in me, how can they be me? Like feeling, When feeling arise and pass away, like pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or neutral feeling, when it transforms and become other type of feeling, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? If feeling is not you, then why does it arise in you? Through your silent mind in pure awareness, you will come to understand that they are all dependent originating entity, condition arising, causal phenomena. There is nobody behind. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Feeling, perception, sankhara, vijnanam, they are all dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why all these aggregate, they come and go, they arise and pass away through following nature's law, a nature's process, following especially the law of mind, dwelling or paticca samuppada, from that avijja paccaya sankhara, a condition, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya namarup. So all this I have shared with you all before. Then you start to see a different reality. Then you realize that all these five aggregates of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it cannot be you. You cannot cling on to it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So when you are not deluded by it, you will not suffer. Because it is through Sakkaya Ditti that condition wants to grasp and cling on to the five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that they are real. They are a part of you. Means it's a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So what happens is, when you attach and cling, you get yourself entangled, like feeling. You think you exist. You think you are a permanent, unchanging entity that can own things, have things, possess things. That's how you arise the craving to own them, the positive aspect of sensual desire or craving, positive craving. Then when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, you develop the anger, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, the violence. So all this is part and parcel of mind state, condition arising, emotion, and they are not intrinsic in you. They arise because of wrong view, wrong thought. That's why they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So all this so-called feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness, they are dependent originating entity, condition arising entity. That's why I always say when you meditate with the silent mind, you will come to know. Feeling come and go, perception come and go, consciousness come and go. Mental states or mental emotion, including sankhara activity, they arise and they pass away, they also come and go. And you didn't die. So how can they be you? So if they are not you, then who are you? What are you? So see all this clearly, then you awaken. Then you realize because they are dependent originating, they are impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity. Dependent on condition, they arise. Then when condition ceases, it ceases. Then when condition continues to exist, it continues to sustain itself and manifest accordingly. That's why they are dependent originating, condition arising entity, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity, following nature's law. So when you see the impermanent characteristic, then you will see also the second universal characteristics of existence, which is suffering. If you want things your way, you attach and cling, which is not following nature's movement or condition, then you suffer, because the pancha niyamas that governs all of life and existence are the governing rules or law within nature. And you want things your way, which is not in accordance with this nature's laws, condition, then you will suffer, because the reality follows the pancha niyama. It doesn't follow what you want. So if you cannot understand this, you will grasp and cling and want things your way, which is not nature's way or following nature's condition. That's how you get yourself entangled, suffering comes to be. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you cannot grasp onto it, cling onto it, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's how you awaken to the non-self characteristic. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. No such thing. Yeah. Because even your own form and mind, the so-called human being, is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. So how can it own things? Because it itself is subject to change. It is evolving, dependent, originating, condition arising. It will come to cease, finally, when condition cease to be. So when your breath stops, you also cannot own anything. And when condition cease to be, it also dissolves and cease by itself. So that thing or the phenomena that you want to own, possess, you cannot. Where they are also like your physical body and mind, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. So these three universal characteristics, you will see them and you will awaken to them, then you will not be deceived or deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you won't cling, you won't grasp, you won't get yourself entangled to delusion. That's how you liberate your mind and free. So this 1.3 important inquiry for developing the meditative wisdom to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta is very important. Silence your mind to develop the silent inner awareness to understand what is going on, to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how all these aggregate of mind arise and pass away. See them clearly, awaken to their universal characteristics. Then at the same time, clearly understand that the five aggregate of form and mind is not what you think you are. It's not you, not real. It is a karmically conditioned form and mind for you to arise. It's part of your nature, because through the karmic law, it arises, the karmic nature. But it's not a permanent and changing entity, not you. So do not deludedly grasp and cling onto it and hold on to it. Once that sakayadity is gone, self-delusion is gone, then the mundane mind realizes itself and sees. Then you realize there is another nature within, which is prior to the arising of thought, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is the pure nature within. Some call it the Buddha nature, the original nature, your true nature. Yeah. So the Buddha nature, or that nature within, is the unconditioned. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's just a nature within. And this nature, which is very unique, very powerful, and has this capability of giving rise to wisdom and understanding to transform the consciousness so that the consciousness become like liberated, or through that wisdom it is no longer deluded and it cannot be deceived or lure into to become to entangle itself. So the mind that has the wisdom connected to it will develop the wisdom to liberate the mundane mind and transcend the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Then it can come with the wisdom to live life, because it understands life and there is no more delusion. That's why life becomes wonderful. True emptiness is wonderful existence. So all this can be understood. Okay, we move on to Pattu, definition of terms. So these are the three types of wisdom that is also shared in the Mahayana teaching. They are similar to the Theravada traditions, first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom, or we call it Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. So prajna, or profound prajna, which is wonderful profound wisdom of those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha, that is profound prajna. Whereas superficial prajna is the limited initial wisdom, limited to the cultivation and realization of the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, followed by the 12 link of Paticca-samuppada, the 12 link of condition causation as taught at the Theravada level, or they call it the Paticca-samuppada. So superficial prajna is the provisional wisdom, provisional teaching, and profound prajna is the ultimate wisdom of the Sammasambuddha or the Bodhisattva that cultivate to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Whereas the superficial prajna are for the sound hearer and the Pajeka Buddhas to realize the sainthood way until Arahantaship. Then there is this form Dhamma. Form Dhamma are perceptible Dhamma at the form level. Means the first of the five aggregates of form and mind, means the physical form and the external form. So these are called form Dhamma. Means Dhamma at form level. Then we have the mind Dhamma. So mind Dhamma, they are less perceptible. We have form Dhamma, all the external form, you can see them. You can perceive them. They are very solid and they are perceivable, like very real, like this table, this chair, this house, everything external form that you come to perceive through your senses. They are at the form level. But when it comes to mind, how do you know them? That one is at the mental, through your mental perception. And it's not perceptible by the gross form, like we perceive the table, the house, the building, the automobiles, everything that we see in the external phenomenal world, all the external form. So these are mental form. The mental form constitute mind Dhamma. So at the mind level, we can feel. But it's at the mind level, not external physical form. That's why mind Dhamma and form Dhamma are very different. At the form level, you tend to attach to external form Dhamma. Like people will tend to dress in a way to deceive you. they dress themselves into a very impressive way, then they say, this is the impression of a wealthy person or a religious person. Yeah. Then sometimes they cling on to form Dhamma. They say they are very strict because they are religious. They follow the precepts. They follow very detailed precepts or commandment or whatever. Then sometimes they even say they don't kill and they also don't cause to kill. Means they are vegetarian. They are more compassionate. Also. So when you hold on to all this form Dhamma, you are quite limited in the sense that you didn't cultivate the mind Dhamma. Well, the more important one is the mind Dhamma. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are at the mind level. When your content of consciousness has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you cannot see. Means your greed are still very strong. Your anger, your aversion, your delusion, they are still very gross and very strong. Then you talk about being compassion, no meaning. That's why without mindfulness, you cannot see mind Dhamma. Then when you cannot see mind Dhamma, you cannot see the unreality of mind. Then you cannot see beyond mind. That's why you are trapped at the mundane form Dhamma. So form Dhamma, also you cannot see. That's why there is no way you can see beyond form, beyond mind. So form Dhamma, you must see clearly how they arise through your senses, through your perception. Then how you come to know the form. Then you realize that all these external forms, they arise through nature's law. They are dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomenon. Then you start to see the unreality of form. They are not what you think, not a permanent and changing entity. They are all dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena. And once causes and conditions cease to be, they cease to be. So externally, already dependent, originating, condition, arising, not so real, not what you think. Then how do you know it's a table or a chair or a car or a form? You know it through mental perception. That one is even more unreal. It's just an image within your brain through your perception. So externally already not so real. Then you perceive it through your mental. Why do you grasp onto it, cling onto it, give it meaning and allow it to have such power over you, to cause you so much suffering, misery, and become so reactive over it? That is delusion. That's why you really understand. Then you realize the mundane mind is basically thought. And what is thought? Thought is just memory and concept and words. Memory, concept and words, they are not real. Understand? They are just dependent originating entity. Mind make adi exhibiting the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. No reality. Ultimately, empty nature of existence. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. No reality. Then he no you, he no me. Where there is no permanent and changing entity. Then you start to see the non-self nature, the empty nature. Then you start to see the no-mark nature, no mark of a self existing or cultivating, no mark of others existing and cultivating, and no marks of the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Even the Four Noble Truths, the Dhamma, the whatever that you come to perceive within the conditioned world, the duality, everything, they are not what you think. So ability to see beyond form, to see the unreality of form, Then going to the mind, do the same. Learn how to see mind, the unreality of mind. Then only you can see beyond mind. Then when you are mindful, aware and sensitive, then you can develop the understanding of what constitutes evil, the three evils of greed, hatred and delusion. And when you understand them and you are mindful of them when they arise, how you arise the four right effort. First right effort is to abandon all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, there is a reason. Then the second right effort is to prevent the arising of all this wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action. Then the third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood that you have yet to develop them. Then after you have developed them, the final right effort is to refine upon and perfect all this right thought, right speech, right action until it becomes a part of you, until the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood and the subsequent Noble Eightfold Path factor has become a part of you, become the embodiment of it. And when you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, means you have cultivated this Noble Eightfold Path, and it will give you the wisdom and the understanding to be free of all suffering. That is what the fourth Noble Truth is. And that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why ultimately you must develop all this wisdom and understanding to cultivate and perfect the understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path and develop the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path understanding. Each and every of these path factors can transform you. And to do this, you need awareness or mindfulness to see the mind Dhamma and then realize the universal characteristics to transcend life, to go beyond the mundane. Okay, we read on, move on. So I read again. Mind Dhamma, non-perceptible Dhamma, means the remaining four aggregates, namely feeling, perception, sankhara, and vijnanam. Then for mind Dhamma to be understood, you need sati or mindfulness or awareness to see the mind Dhamma. Because like I say, awareness has higher intelligence. That's why it can see thought, it can see the aggregates of mind. But mind or thought cannot see awareness, because from the pure awareness nature, thought arises. That's why they have higher intelligence. So if one cannot see form Dhamma, then it's very difficult for them to see mind Dhamma, which is much more subtler and much less perceptible, which I have explained earlier on. External form are more gross, more easy to perceive. Whereas mind Dhamma is at the mind level, not so perceptible, but it's less gross. You cannot see it so clearly. Then cultivators of the way of Dhamma, of superficial prajna, they can become arahant to end the birth and death of this segmented, limited, delimited, segmented body. Means this segment of our form and mind. But they are unable to transcend the birth and death of fluctuation or the thought process. Means they can become enlightened because they don't have ignorance anymore. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness due to avijja. But their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life as an arahant. So this one is, they always say, without flow. Previous life could be animal, of born of the Peta rhyme, the demon rhyme, the deva rhyme, etc., even Brahma rhyme. Then this life, you are a human being. So which one of these are you? or is you? None of them, isn't it? So, over a long period of samsaric birth and death, you have been born into this existential world and you die. Over aeons and aeons of birth and death, could be billions. Which one is you? None of them are you. They are all your karmically conditioned, segmented form and mind. And it can come in any variation, any form within the 31 planes of existence. So this understanding is very important. Yeah? Okay, I think we can stop here. Yeah? So I will set the alarm for awareness-based meditation. So those who already know how to develop the awareness-based meditation, you can proceed. Just remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. First support is relax. Learn how to relax your body and mind completely so that your body is at ease, free of all the tension, stress, or tightness within. So ability to relax is very important. Just relax. Ah, like you are dead. Relax. Then maintain awareness is the second support. Whatever arises within your six senses, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then stabilize this awareness, which is the third support. Until your mind becomes very quiet and very still. For those who are more familiar with the method technique or mind sweeping method or whatever skillful means, even like anapanasati or rising falling, you can make use of them to develop the stability of mindfulness first. Try to avoid focusing or concentration. Initially, you just maintain awareness, like anapanasati, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware, just continue until you're very stable, until the mindfulness becomes very stable, until the mind becomes very quiet and very still. You can experience all the jhanic factors or whatever calm state that arise, never mind. But maintaining awareness is very important. And ability to relax into every mind state that arises within your physical body and mind is very important. So continue to silence your mind. Then within the silence, find out who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. Then when you are able to develop the internal transformation to become very quiet, very still, and you are just aware and mindful, then you can inquire without thought, who are you? Then from there, you will progress. You will develop your own understanding. Then all the Dhamma, the teaching, they will arise for you to understand. What you need is just the silent mind, the sati, the meditative mind, to develop this understanding so that thought ceases. And when thought becomes less and less, develop true wisdom and understanding. When your initial wisdom of yoniso manasikara arise, through understanding the essential Dhamma, the basic Dhamma, the Dhamma that I have taught you, form Dhamma, formless Dhamma or mind Dhamma, then the awareness-based Dhamma. So all this can help you develop the understanding. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then after the 45 minutes, upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that can make you silent within, because the inner awareness is without thought. It's tranquil, still, silent, without thought. There is clarity. That's why that mind state is very conducive for you to live life, to understand life, and to develop the daily mindfulness, the stability of it, the clarity of it. And that is capable of the direct seeing, the silent inner awareness that can incite the phenomena and awaken. And that is what your meditative mind is. Okay, now we'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have. Your question can cover any part regarding what we call the meditation or the Dhamma, or what we have discussed today, the topic on mind, consciousness, understanding the thought and consciousness. So all these are very important. Just now, okay, we cover mind Dhamma, form Dhamma, and we also cover the importance of inquiries, their understanding thought and consciousness. This one is also very important. Okay, now we open up.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kalamitas.
Yes.
How would I say? Brother Teo, yes. Yesterday night, I go and seek a TCM treatment for my wound.
Yes.
It is not the TCM doctor, but it's a temple by the Tai Kong.
Okay.
So they prescribe, I went there many times as a follow-up because of my arms about a year ago. So it's actually healed. And I know how they operate. They actually operate by someone is using a white sticker, tree sticker, to write the yao, zhong yao de ming. They are using this way. So yesterday, surprisingly, when I prescribe to them, when I tell them what had happened to my wound, that it's already recovered, the flesh also grew up already, then I can see the old issues like extending on one side of the wound. So surprisingly, they asked me go to the center altar there to sang xiang.
Oh, very good.
So the sang xiang is not the tree chopstick, but it's a powder form. I put already, they take the water from there back to the table where they write on the sand, a thin layer of sand using the white stick to write whatever. But before that, they asked me some question, a very logic question, like whether the nerve was damaged. So I told them the doctor before operation already asked me to sign a letter saying that certain nerve will be damaged because they dig the flesh out.
Yes.
So then later on, they continue to, after I pray and sang xiang, they come back and they continue to ask me. What they ask me is really shocking me because they ask me to do repentance.
Wow, sadhu. That one is very important,
Then they say, ask me to do ta li bai and chan ta bei zhou.
Sadhu. Very
good. Inside my heart, I was thinking, oh my God, luckily I know how to perform all this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if I'm not a Buddhist, I really don't know anything.
Already,
Yes. So they asked me to do Da Bei Zhou in Sanskrit, you know. They asked me to chant, but they didn't say how many times. So I was thinking, oh, this is telling me I'm paying my debts. That means my wound is related to karmic
Yes,
debts.
definitely, yeah. But you also have your good karma to have all this condition to get that specialist to operate on you and recover. And the retreat also help you, meant to be.
So, and brought you, it makes, but then I asked them one question. I say, I have learning Buddhism for 10 years. I don't see much. What my first question is, say, on and off, I do repentant, but I say, why some more what chant put out way means I say, why some more what chant water repentant chant we chant put out way means it's not effective like that. So instead of they ask me, go and chant Da Bei Zhou. So, they asked me, normally, what do you chant? I say, I prefer to chant Sing Chi. So they asked me, you chant Da Bei Zhou. Da Bei Zhou, actually, there's one time, Padmasuri enrolled me into the Taiwan Ling
Yeah,
Chiu San.
Far Ku San.
So I
No, the
did
other one, huh?
Ling Chiu San.
Ling Chiu San, yes.
The one they say we wanted to go. So over the Ling Chiu San group, I did chant maybe for 21 days or whatever, then I stopped. So now seems like they say so. And then I remember Miss Lee. I always miss Miss Lee. All the while, sometimes I check with Manyan, where is Miss Lee? So Chu Isu, because Miss Lee used to have a ceremony
Fahui,
there.
yeah, temple there, yeah.
So now probably I have to find some temple near my place, whether they have some ceremony on Chu Isu la. And brother, that also when they ask me to do these things, that make me remember I did a few times talk to Buddha and say, if I am not diligent, I say knock my head until I sing chilaya. I did say things like that. And I say, provided it is not a major health issue, I negotiate. So that day, I come to think, oi, they are giving me hint, no? Because it's not a major health issue of my this wound, but it's really disturbing me.
Affecting you,
It's already 5 months from the beginning until now. Because I have the worry I will go through the second operation if the thing continue. They are going to pick again. So I thinking, so to me, I think 不需要初一十五平常都可以做.
You can do anytime,
So today morning when I do my I can feel my mind is a bit cool. My mind is better, a bit peace, when I do the swai so. So just now I meditate for a while. Also, I can feel I am more peaceful. Then I don't want to meditate. I want to come out. So when I come out, I make a tree bow.
So
During the bow itself, I know I'm in a state of bowing. So I continue. I continue. So I continue probably 20 minutes or so.
Oh,
And
very
it's like
good, Sadhu.
less effortless. You know, it's less effortless. Less.
The body,
And,
the mind as one. You are maintaining the awareness within.
Yeah, I also know during the bowing, my mind can be active also. Can be, it can be, but I trying to be like bowing. So it's very effortless. So I know when it's effortless, it's like
You are
you,
already doing it correctly.
with your kaya lah, more on your
With the
kaya.
kaya, body and mind
And
as one.
yeah, so I did also a few months ago ask Asong, I said, especially it's stronger in the Wu Tai San. I say even in Malaysia, sometimes I can hear my ears, I can hear background got like thousand and million of insect is calling. So I say, Asong, what is this? Asong say he also got lah. So in Wu Tai San, it become very loud, the sound in the background of the ears. So just now when I do the same thing, I can hear car is driving in front of the house, but yet I can hear the background sounds like million of insects.
Yes, your awareness has actually developed more refined and getting to be more stable. Then you can hear all this, you can perceive all this.
So I should be thankful and see how diligent I can be. It's high time high time to come back to all this type of
Definitely, yeah. It's about time that you become more devoted, more serious about all these things. Then you will recover. Yeah. Then you will have a lot of joy. Where you have the parami, and now the condition for you to develop better affinity with Kuan Yin through chanting that Ta Pei Zhou. The Ta Pei Zhou is very unique because Xing Qing is for wisdom, understand not? Ta Pei Zhou is a great compassionate mantra. It's invoking all the four Kuan Yin,
Kuan Yin
manifestation, the 84 Kuan Yin manifestation when she was around to develop the great compassion that time. All these 84 names, they compile it into a great compassionate mantra. That's why this is what they call Da Bei Zhou, is a Zhou, means mantra. Da Bei means great compassionate mantra. And this mantra has great healing power because it has great compassion. It can bring forth the compassion to help living beings. So this one is very important. The other one is if you have affinity Yao Si Fo, like Alicia they all, then you can chant the Yao Si Fo Zhou, Yao Si Zhou. That one also very, very powerful. And there are many cultivators recently that have affinity Yao Si Fo. And they actually benefited. And they got a lot of this ceremony. So recently that Yao Si Fo, that group of cultivators, I saw in the internet also, I think gaining popularity, and many people receive a lot of help and benefits from those cultivation. And a lot of them, they have faith and they develop the chanting and they recover. And the Yao Si Fo, not only for recovery from sickness and disease, which is very special and very, they call it efficacy, it also can develop wisdom, because they are Buddha with that parami and nature. So for you, this Da Bei Zhou, or what they call the Great Compassion Mantra of Kuan Yin, can really help. Well, TCM also, they do this, sadhu. Means the one that attend to you also know how to apply repentance for healing and all those things. I think he must be a Dhamma practitioner, otherwise he won't be able to advise you to do all this.
Bro Teo, actually, after visiting the temple, I think 4 or 5 times, yesterday only I discovered, because I saw in my prescription there, there's a word called Bai Yun, like white cloud. So yeah. I asked, what is this? They say the deity that come over tonight is Bai Yun. So, they somehow told me, sometimes it's, girl, I told them, I thought this is a Zai Gong, should be always Zai Gong. They say not necessary.
Not necessary, yeah.
They say sometimes halfway, the deity will go away and another can't come. And they told me got Guan Yin, got Zai Gong, and yesterday the one they see one, I also don't know, Bai Yun, they put there.
Yeah.
So they told me things like that. Yeah. And, you know, bro, too, maybe just a month ago, I did ask PG, I say, dependent, how you can do like really 做到位,
PG
told me, because 我不是没有做过,就是做了没有效, 就好像 parroting这样. So I asked her, she said, if I'm not mistaken, she said something like, probably until now already, stage already, because of her cough, she said, then only, will sincerely
become very determined,
very sincerely, she
very
said,
sincerely,
so I also know dependent have to do from the bottom of your heart, there's no point.
You need to really be very, very sincere and have faith then you really are determined, and you vow not to repeat all the, then you sincerely commit yourself to the repentant. Then the affinity or that so-called sincerity will cause things to happen. And also because of your affinity with some of these great beings, so nature has a way to bring it to fruition. That's why you're supposed to consult somebody else, but go there that night, that lady Bai Yun came and then asked you to do that, which is so different from the normal TCM treatment and all those things. That's why it's meant to be.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, after visit a few times, this is the first time that when they asked me to do all this, I was thinking over there. I said, "Oh my God!" Luckily, I know how to do all this. Otherwise, I also will be blur. Then I on the spot, I also thinking, 我曾经跟佛陀讲过, 不醒就敲到我醒, and I put
that
will
very
be
important.
A major major cannot be
you
a,
need
should
major
not
lie.
I say you should not through major health issue. I say, can knock me, but not that way. So I come to this, I was thinking, because when I told them years ago, I think I tell two times, three times, never to major health issue. So I was thinking, and this time also, I become very quiet to Kai Hao. You know? They also, yesterday also, they asked me to Kai Hao. Which I also doing it very strictly.
Do you realize one thing? Last time, Ananda Giri, you can't go is because you also got injury also at the lake there. You remember?
Yes.
The tightness and all thing. So yours is related to the lake. Means past life karmic, you must have caused severe injury or suffering to people at the lake there. I don't know what that thing is, but it has very severe karmic effect on you. So every time you come, you have to pay back this type of thing. Then
brother,
same leg, unless you ask for repentance, it will not go on. You remember last time, Chui? He kena snatch thief many times. Same thing haunt them. And a lot of people, there is one kaya, he every time kena panic attack. In fact, two. Kena panic attack all the thing. Then, because these are the karmic that come back. Then those kena scam one, also same one. Past life, they scam people and all the thing. So these are the things that will repeat itself with the pattern. That's why you and my daughter know. She now very careful. She tried to avoid the condition. Because she saw, she fell and the lake was a canal last time. Dropped into a drain, I don't know what, I forgot already. JB there. So you can see one. Then I told you last time I pay back on the coconut leaf, the dry leaf when I was very young. You have to one. But that one, straight away, I knew it is something I have to go through. Then when I actually developed the understanding after 89, I remember I have all this vow. Then I continue with my, what they call aditan, to ask for forgiveness and all those things. That's why I know how to use it. I know how to apply it. Then I know how to teach you all and share with you all how to use it to develop the cultivation. So all this, as you go through, you will develop your own understanding. Then later on, you can, based on all this understanding, develop the understanding further. Then later on, you can have the parami to share and develop the, what they call, Dhamma understanding for future generation. So all these are very important, very beautiful. Good. Sadhu to you. So determine, and really this time, clear it.
It seems I already talked to the Buddha saying that, you know, not me, but not. And this time is like this case. If I try to pull some more, I will hit even
in the in the coming, actually, and severe. You not only against the triple jam, no? You commit a lot of order, but that one I think mostly clear. Now is your leg one. Which in the past many times you must have caused such injury and all those things.
Brother, that day, yesterday only I read you say karmic debts, huh?
Yeah.
The chetana got a few types. One, yeah. There's one is coming out this life itself.
Yeah, correct. It will manifest.
Another one
life,
is
no more. The last life one is. The last chetina is the next life. In next life, no condition, it will also not manifest. But the between 2 to 6 one is there forever.
Permanent.
Forever. It won't get removed one, until you pay back, until you had enough of it. That one, most people cannot clear that one. 2 to 6. Very difficult.
Yeah, sorry, but I also remember you say, who can help people deliver baby.
Angulimala.
Angulimala, he gave people to so Buddha also tell him, you better suffer now.
Yeah, endure this here, is it?
Yes.
It's better
yes,
than it's going true. Down to hell for don't know how many lives of suffering is
yes,
it?
Yeah. In fact, that moment, he kena the eating very bad. He also Buddha tell him suffer it now
endure,
better than next time.
Endure.
It seems that future 他出来就是很够力。
对，他跟他讲会很惨的。That's why karmic, you cannot play a fool one. And the karmic consciousness, when it comes, you cannot stop one. Normal people don't have the wisdom, cannot counter on. That's why they get drawn into it. They got themselves entangled deeper and deeper. So the karmic consciousness, they are very powerful. They cause things to arise also. And it's a yin yang fa. No? When the causes and conditions manifest, cannot run on. Unless you have the wisdom, the cultivation, the parami, then you can see the sign. And when you see the sign, immediately you have to take action already. I remember in the early years, before 1989 or so, I already got this ability. I think since I graduated or what, I remember after 1979, then before the 89, I was developing the cultivation. Then it kept on showing me the sign that something is not right or no. Like one time I told you all, I took the $2 from my mother's ang pao, then I kena kau kau. Then later on, my new car, within 1 or 2 months, the same new car, 3 tire punctured. And I had to pay back that inconvenience. Then later on is also when we play mahjong or when I try to cheat or deceive, he show it to me. Then immediately when I saw the sign later on, after I developed the cultivation, I straight away know there is something coming. So what I did initially was, I remember, I asked for forgiveness, then I make donation. That invoke power of marriage to share merit and all things. Then I realized, no more problem. Then later on, any of the sign come, especially before 1989, it showed it to me so clearly, until I know this one cannot play a fool. Then immediately I ask for forgiveness, it clear.
Brother, you say there's one time you ride motorbike, then
I say that thing. I say
something
I never,
like, you know, can
I
ride motorbike very well.
That inside tell me you die already. You cannot be arrogant, you cannot say, oh, very good. Then the moment I say it out, inside tell me you cannot. Then that night, on the highway, I hit a pothole and my whole motorbike went down. And luckily I was wearing a jacket. But one of my hand, gonna that type of what they call minor bruise, then I need to go back and put the yellow lotion and all those things, antiseptic. But that time I don't have antiseptic, I got the yellow lotion. So all this, it show it to you. You cannot simply say things. So your speech, you will know one. Your insight will alert you one. This thing cannot say one. Even like to say that, which is the truth. Actually, I never fall down before, but because it was out of that ego, the ego that wants to like, hao lian, understand? Hey, I'm very good. I never fall before. The moment I say that, inside tell me, you sure cannot. It's good because it's to let me see that when it comes to speech, you cannot simply manifest it one because it has its karmic consequence. And very severe one, it hit back. And that time, because I was near to the awakening, it kept on coming back to show it to you until that karmic thing become very clear to you. That's why I use the word in Hokkien, bo kalu bo xiong xin, the law of karma is like that one. It manifests one. You cannot play a fool with karma. You have to be dead serious. And you have to understand it clearly. That's why the first right view is right view with regards to a law of karma, where you contemplate and reflect on all the essential dhamma concerning the law of karma as taught by the Buddha, especially the fifth daily contemplation. Then add in, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. All this, they will manifest and you develop the right understanding and you will know that you cannot violate one, not worthwhile to violate one. Then from there onward, very funny, the precept, everything all in order, cannot go wrong, well, you know, not worthwhile one. And cannot, you cannot break very dear. So all this is what cultivation is. And as you develop them, you become different. That's why after that, I realized my nature become very different. Then after 89, when I connect back, then I knew already a lot of things already taken care of in the past because of the understanding. But for new people, new cultivator on the way, this right view with regards to law of karma and asking for forgiveness and repentance is a big field of cultivation where you have to continue to do, because over the aeons and aeons of birth and death, a lot of living beings who has not developed the higher cultivation, they would have committed a lot of karmic negativity. And some of it are very severe karmic. That's why it come, it hit. The karmic obstruction can be very severe and it can actually obstruct that cultivator from getting help and having the causes and conditions to come out of it. That's why the karmic consciousness, when it come, most people cannot do anything to it. It's like you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are with your karma. Then, because of that, the Buddha saw. That's why in the fifth daily contemplation, he told all living beings, you must contemplate, even the monk, every day. Your karma is so important. It almost haunts you, and is the entire of your what they call moral causation aspect of life. All of your life, 99.999% are actually affected and governed by karma. So this karmic law is very powerful. That's why we choose to take care of karma. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. Then ask for repentance, then follow the advice of the Buddha. Then invoke power of merits for turnaround And this is how you make repentance and vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha, which is the cultivation. Then you develop wholesomeness, you develop parami, you develop all the merits. Then invoke power of merits for turnaround and progress and all those things. And all this are what is being summarized in the yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow that I share with you all. The yellow card inside there, they're asking for forgiveness, very complete. The three aspects of asking for forgiveness is very complete. And all the other, what they call misleading.
Three precepts. Brother, you got three precepts.
Three type of pure precept. Pure precept. That one is to enhance it beyond the normal, the three way that I teach you all. That one is the Bodhisattva vow. Under the Bodhisattva vow, the three set of pure precept is to enhance the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is for normal people, but if you go the Bodhisattva way, you have to translate it and understood it as the three sets of pure precept of a Bodhisattva. Well, these are pure precept. No? Not only avoid all evil, no? You must understand what constitutes evil. No? Then only you can do it. Then after that, you cultivate wholesomeness. Not only wholesomeness, no? Until the perfection of it. No? Until you can realize its perfection of all this wholesomeness and whatever. Then of course, the last one is purification of mind, to develop wisdom, but also so that it can allow you to develop the perfection of wisdom to take all beings across. That's how the Bodhisattva vow, the first basic vow, out of love and compassion and wisdom, you vow to take across all living beings. The three set of pure precepts together with the four basic vows will actually start the cultivation. The whole thing will move. Very good, Sadhu. Jibbalin.
Yeah, so Bro Tio, 我觉得, if this is the karmic depths, 我很严受。
你一定要经过，一定要 develop the understanding, then go through, then your cultivation will take on another level of progress, and you will become very different again. Now,
PG, yeah, rather than I have the fear that I have to go through the second operation, so 我就要借这个机会来。
To clear
using the Buddha way method.
You remember last time all the coming offense against the triple jack? It also took you many rounds. Initially it was at the retreat. Then after the retreat, then ultimately you came to my house, you kena again the Samantha one. Then after that Achalo in fact four, I think at least three or four occasions, you had to continue to clear. And all these are the signs that show to you what you commit as karmic. They keep on coming back to haunt you one. And to clear it, need a lot of understanding, patience, and affinity. If you don't have the karmic affinity from the past, or what they call affinity with Kayamita and my nature, this life you cannot meet me, and you may not be able to clear your this type of karmic, because this type of karmic very few people can help you. The first one, the karmic against the triple jamana, you go to retreat also nobody want you, because your situation is so thorough and so bad, and most people who lead the retreat may not understand what is going on. That's why it's not easy. But for you are lucky, and you're able to come out of it. And you also have pretty good karma towards the end. You're near the age of 60 also can get VSS from your company, the golden handshake, and not Starbucks.
Rodeo, sometimes I was thinking, 我做过这样多, 对, 对 Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, 这样得到的东西, 我其实很
But you also have a lot of good parami, you help a lot of people, so you got a kind heart, actually.
Rodeo, 我很 grateful,
我,
然后我很 grateful, 我这个辈子, 哦, 我还是可以给 Buddha 接近, 领回我的,
Because of your life, you get yourself deluded and you mix with the wrong group, then you count it wrongly. You go that way or not? It's very severe one.
Because 那时候我看到学Buddha的人，我就讲这些人，然后现在我还可以回来修佛。You
comment on them and all. It's just like PG lah, your good friend. He last night don't believe in karma one. It's because past life, he like you don't like all these people. Then every time karma irritate them one, then they will say a lot of karmic negativity. That's why all this will hit back on. Then when you come as a human being, the moment you hear karma, you don't want to listen, like PG say, walk away already. He cannot take it. But then he said very straight, when you create the causes and conditions for him, for her to come with you to my class, I spoke so many aspects of karma, she continued to stay and listen. She also cannot understand. Then later on, she cleared. That's why all this is meant to be one. And for your case also, that retreat, you're not supposed to come on. Yeah? All the name taken up, right? The bus seat place all taken up. But last minute, my wife cannot go, and you become the replacement. Yeah. That's why all meant to be. That's why you look back, you can see clearly on all the karmic thing, the sign. So it doesn't mean that when you have very severe karma, you cannot come back. You look at Angulimala. That life itself, he killed almost 1,000 years, 999 or what, with the finger. So this is the karma. And yet in that life, he became an arahant. Means what? Means he has affinity with the Buddha. The triple gen. As I finally, the Buddha walked out that day, where he saw there are causes and conditions for Angulimala to actually become an arahant. That's why he purposely walked towards that direction to meet up with him and transform him, and able to get him to develop the faith to take refuge, then meditate, then later on realize the enlightenment. But at the same time, he has to pay back his karma and all those things. So all these are the Jataka story that you can learn. Then you look at this Devadatta. It's the same. For him to have parami, to be born during the Buddha Sasana, because through the banger incident in the past, he also toho to pai on. He also got a lot of selfishness, greed and all those things. But he vowed so severely, life after life, to go after Sakyamuni, So he happened to strike lottery that Sakyamuni is a bodhisattva. So because of that, he entangled with such great being, he toho topai on. So he kena his karmic. That's why even the last life, when he was born together with Sakyamuni Buddha, become the cousin, he created Sikhism, one of the heavy five heavy karma, and he also hurt the Buddha. He tried attempt to kill, but hurt the Buddha. Also very severe, one of the five great karmic offense. The severe, the heinous deeds that give rise to very heavy karma. The first two is patricide and matricide, killing your own father and mother. And third one is I think called Sikhism. Then the fourth one, I think, is the last one, I think, hurting the Buddha. The fourth one, I cannot remember what it is already. But these are the heavy karmic that you, as a human being or living being, one can commit if you are not careful. So despite all this, they also can come back. So for you, you also have your good and bad. Otherwise, you cannot come back. You cannot become the Kayamita. And you cannot rely on all this and see all this. That's why this life, it depends on how you develop that faith and understanding and seriousness to do the repentance and turn around and progress. This asana is a beautiful window for cultivator of the way, especially Kayamita. But most Kayamita, not so bad. The karmic thing that I saw, they are not as severe as yours. But yours also, you got good and bad together. That's why you can have the causes and conditions to be with the Kayamita. So, develop the what they call gratitude. And thank your good karmic past also, although it has a combination of the past negative. Past already gone, you cannot change. Future also not a reality yet to come. Present moment is the only reality. So every moment in life, you must decide how you want to actually improve your life. That's why moment to moment, you must follow the advice of the Buddha. Do the repentance. And aditan for causes and conditions to turn around and to develop the progress and the understanding. So all these are more tangible things that can give rise to beneficial result and understanding. Okay?
Yeah, Brother, I would like to take this chance to say gratitude to Song.
Yeah.
RF, all my ex-colleague, he is the one I have contact, even sometimes for a few years we don't contact each other, but the link there with him is the actual one that leading me to Brother Teo place.
I'm back.
It is he that, you know, and I thank for my good and bad karma, thanks for the wound letting me to see this. Coming to Brother Teo place, as you say, I took over Mrs. Teo place, and Song told me this is all before naturally.
It come by itself through a natural arrangement. It's like meant to be or no. They all like last minute ask me, or he say, they got a friend, they say from UK and all those things. You want to come. Then I say
Hui Ling, that is Hui Ling.
Hui Ling,
then 1 year ago, 1 year before that. He told me, nobody is better than my Brother Teo.
So
I asked him, where is this Brother Teo? He said, SS2. So I said, okay, SS2, reachable. I can reach. But I still delay until a song told me.
Sound it to you.
He want to go for a body massage.
Yeah, what happened was, at that time, I knew already. I said, how come not that one? I said, never mind. Then I said, okay, get her to come. So everything like fall into place or no. Then when you join at the retreat, the first day, my nature sense, I knew you kaulat on. But then everything actually manifests out the way it is meant to be. And you actually recovered. Especially when you went down to join the morning chanting. Deng Xiong Sifu came and asked me, Brother Teo, he said, your this Kayamita, 是不是有问题? He said, it's all you doing, all the mudra and the eerie sound. Then I smile and I told her, don't worry. I said, Chen Suying, I said, comic. 没事, I said. Then I sent a pure visual. After that, immediately you stop.
I don't know what happened, but I know there were moments I totally calmed down.
You calm down and you stop. Then after that, I went upstairs. There were conditions, I shared it. Then you came in at the end, then you heard nothing. That's why everything is meant to be. Then after that, I think you have faith. Then you ask for forgiveness and do a lot of things. Otherwise, not easy. Because that time, I remember Namo Tassa. You cannot take it. The moment I recite that Namo Tassa, you in front there until you run to the back. Very eerie on that type of manifestation. I still remember the first session you suppressed it. Then you came and talked to me. You say, "Bratio, I got something to discuss with you." I say, "What is it?" He say, "I got this." He said, "I don't know how to handle it." He said, then I said, "Let it come out lah." He said, "Very eerie, you know, aking alang." I said, "Never let it come out." Oh, then the next session, I think you let it come out. Then those in front, one, near to you, are all panic, or don't know what is happening to you. Then after that, we managed to develop the understanding with you, then you actually know how to develop the recovery. Means ask for forgiveness. Then I hinted to you that you have a lot of this coming obstruction with the Triple Gem, and you have to ask for forgiveness in front of the Buddha. But at that Cameron Highland is a very conducive place.
Yeah, Brother Cameron Highland is a very good place.
Yeah, very conducive place for you to ask for forgiveness and all those things.
So I think, Brother, my sharing will be until here for today.
Hi, Brother.
Yes.
Colin.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Brother, since we are talking about karma, maybe I can also share what I have seen karma in other people.
Sadhu. Very good.
My mother, you know, since I young, she always say, you know, if need to suffer, let's suffer when we are young. So that you're old, no more already, like, pay that, pay when you're young.
Yeah.
I always hear her saying that, you know.
I mean,
so many times I hear, I tend to agree with her, because
when
you're old already,
the suffering not easy to endure.
Yes. So, but then, this few years, I start to notice, not many people, get to enjoy when they are getting old, you know.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate,
Correct. Yes.
Like I see people suddenly becoming depressed when they are old.
Yeah, a lot of old people go through that phase. They become very depressed because the first noble truth reality really hit them. Without the Dhamma, like what we discussed just now, the living being really suffer because they cannot understand that deterioration of health, the vision and all those things, where your senses starts to fail you. And the thing that you go through in life as you age, a lot of things you used to have the ability to do and enjoy, now you cannot, like you are useless, then a lot of them are entangled with relationship problem, first noble truth reality, financial problem, jurisdiction problem, friend or neighbor's problem. Of course, career no more lah. They retire already. But they still have a lot of sankara negativity to actually haunt them and entangle them. And they get themselves miserable over nothing. So it's not easy. You are right, And the advice your mother give you is good, no? Endure while you young. go through all
not for us to choose,
right. If you don't have the Dhamma, not for you to choose. But as Dhamma practitioner, when we have the Dhamma, we can go through old age sickness and then no problem. The first number two reality, you can confront them and overcome them, no problem. That's why Dhamma is very important.
Why I say this, because these few months I saw some homeless people opposite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, there was one lady, she keep on sitting by the lane opposite the restaurant, and you can see there's something wrong with her, the mind. She's a bit not right. So when I I see, you know, the hawkers also very nice. They feed her lah.
They try to attend to her and take care of her.
So some of them know her story, you know. So then these few weeks I didn't see her. It didn't occur to me what happened. But then one day I had dinner, and this lady who was selling curry mee sat with her. She was on duty already. She was also in the kopitiam. She told me, hey, that lady passed away already.
No wonder.
Now I understand how come I didn't see her. And then actually my mother also know that lady one. So then the curry seller was telling me, you know why she's like that? She kinda cheated, you know, when she was young. Very pitiful when I heard that. And then I said, cheat in what way, money, is it? Then I don't know lah.
If a lot of lady get into trouble because of relationship and also karmic scam and all those things. In fact, a lot, not only ladies, but more story about lady getting into that. Because our civilization is a manifestation of all the karmic thing that lady have to go through. And because this era, this civilization, a lot of the, what they call, karmic effect, they tend to have the causes and conditions to manifest as lady. Then as lady, they are prone to this type of karmic repercussion. So when it comes to paying back karmic debt, they actually experience a lot of, because the female, what they call DNA, they have a tendency of more emotional one. They are more emotional, so easily hurt and like felt cheated and all those things. That's why they have this tendency. Then they have to go through the what they call like normal lady go through the giving birth process, the menstrual cycle and all those things. Then the change in emotion and all those things. In fact, that peculiar aspect of the female gender, they are more prone to karmic. But I say under our civilization, means the present moment civilization. But in other civilization, things can be different. Like last time in the early day, I remember the snatch diva, Kukeng, the male kena one. The male got money in the purse and all this thing. But lately, the snatch diva and all this thing, lady kena a lot. Old people and all those things. So civilization evolve according to causes and conditions and manifestation. So what you witness is also very good, because this is to let you see. And this is the phase where you have the Dhamma, where you can see that, you can reflect and contemplate, and it can help you. First you see in your aunt, then your parent, then now you see in the ordinary people that manifest the karmic along your maybe while you walk around your area where you have your all the makan shop outside there, and later on in life you also see them. So all this will continue because part and parcel of cultivation, as you develop the understanding, you can understand more, then you see more, then you realize that all these are the first noble truth reality, the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere. if you don't have the Dhamma understanding. And this noble truth, the first noble truth, followed by the second, third, and fourth, they are the secret of life. And you can never live life or understand life if you don't have that understanding of the Four Noble Truths. That's why these Four Noble Truths are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Very important, very fundamental, and very useful. And living beings really need to have the affinity with Triple Gem to receive this teaching. Otherwise, it's not easy. Yeah, you continue, Manya. Yeah.
Yeah, Brother Leo, it's kind of scary when I see all this. Actually, this lady, she is still fortunate because she still has a family, you know, just that she sit there and don't go home really, and then she don't take her bath. But if she wants, she can still go home. There's still
correct.
For her.
Yeah. Correct. That is what she is. That's why I say the karmic consciousness, when it comes, it will make her like that one. Even though she has a family, she got the condition to actually go back and develop all the, what they call, affinity to be care. But the karmic consciousness make her like that. No? Make her think like that. No? Make her miserable over the past. Because that type of thought keep on haunting her. It's like that one. When the karmic consciousness come, you cannot say why she like that one. No? It's because of karma. And without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, you cannot turn that person around. Even if you have the understanding, you tell her, she cannot listen. There is no causes and condition for her to understand. The karmic obstruction, very severe. But people who have the causes and condition to come out of it, you will know. Then they will have the parami to come to you, who have the understanding to help them. So you also see all this. We are during the early years, I remember, even before 1989, I remember, when people know that I was cultivating, many people came and see me, talk to me, consult me. But that time I knew what I can share is limited to what they can understand, because most of them cannot understand. So there is nothing much I can do too. But later on, after 1989, when I connect back, then I develop the understanding. Then over the years, as I stabilize my understanding, I realize I can help people. That's why 2004 onward, I decide to come out. Then when I decide to come out, many people realize that I know a lot of things. I can understand. Then they bring people who have problem to see me. That's how I started treating people and helping people to turn around. Then many of the Kayamita know that I can help solve a lot of people's problems. Especially when I was invited to SGBA. Then Sui An, he was the deputy president, and most of the time he's in the temple. A lot of people come to see them. A lot of people got problem when they go temple. Then from there, he starts to introduce many of these people to come and see, and they turn around, and become beautiful. Then later on, Sui An also learned. Then the not so serious one, he helped me to clear. Then all the serious one, he said, "You better go and see Bharati, you better go and see Bharati." And a lot of them came, and they recovered. That's why all this, these are the phenomena that you will see in life and existence. When you have the Dhamma, before you have the Dhamma, and after you have the Dhamma, the phases are different, the understanding are different. Like after 1989, when more people are serious, then my focus is more towards helping the Kayamita develop the understanding and grow. That's why the last so many years, I think less of these people with problem come and see me. Much, much less. Last time, non-stop one. Keep on coming. So, very good. Manyan, yeah.
Brother, and Brother, you have so many people.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I also realize it's not easy to help them. It's not easy to see. Oh.
Correct. Yes, very true. Mm.
Yeah. Why I say this, because beside this lady, there's another man, you know, and he also homeless. He's not really homeless. He doesn't have a house.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting also by the 5 foot way, and his karma even got worse. I think he got hit by a car, and he hit the leg. So it was fractured. Fractured, and they put an iron rod all around it. So he's sitting by the corridor. So before a few years before that, I see him also walking around the restaurants, the shops, you know, picking up all those cardboard. Yeah. So I used to seeing him, but that time he still can look after himself, although he's homeless, right?
Yeah.
But now I look at him, ayo. So there was one day I go near him, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, whether he is receptive, if, you know, there's a home that will accept him. But brother Dio, it is true, you know, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to be...
Yeah, he will react on, because the karmic conscience, it's not them already, it's the karmic consciousness acting that way. That's why their behavior very weird. Sometimes it's not to say you want to help and you don't want to help. That's why I always tell Kaimita, there must be causes and conditions. Don't try to be a good-hearted fool. Cannot. Because it's not about doing good or helping people. When people don't have the karmic condition to receive all this, you go ahead, you get into more trouble. That's why there must be causes and conditions behind. And causes and conditions, you must have the Dhamma cultivation long enough to understand, to develop the clear understanding. Then when there are causes and conditions, you realize you can help very naturally, and things just unfold. And it will fall into place. Otherwise, no point. Because it will get worse, like your experience. Whatever you tell him also, he is very negative. So good, Vanya. Yeah. So finally, you just let him be.
Oh, let him be lah. I mean, I can. I actually.
That's the correct way. You just let him be.
Actually, I found someone because you know all the church. He's just sitting outside the church, a few doors away.
Oh, okay.
I also WhatsApp to ask, you know, whether anybody can find a home for him. And there was one lady from a church in DU who came and talked to him, you know. Hey, don't want means don't want. So okay lah. No, cannot help him already.
Their karmic consciousness that make them like that. You cannot understand all this because you don't know. It's not them anymore. It's the karmic consciousness inside them with all the karmic obstruction and everything. And they become negative one. And they just behave that way. That's why a lot of things in life, in existence, it's not a matter of you want to help or you don't want to help. No, if there is no condition to help, you cannot help. No matter what you do. Even the Buddha also same, isn't it? There is a famous saying, they say, 无缘人不可度. The Buddha also know. Without affinity, they also cannot help you or support you or turn you around or help you in any way to develop a better understanding. No way. Because karmic obstruction is so severe and so intense that it will create that type of karmic consciousness or not, and block everything. That's why the word karmic obstruction, it will obstruct you. That's why when it comes to law of karma, you cannot play a fool. Karmic obstruction is very, very severe and very real. You cannot really comprehend or fathom all this until you have the cultivation. Okay, you have to summarize already, Manya. We already passed.
Okay. Right. The other thing is, he used to have a good background, but now it turned around because when I speak to him, he speak in excellent English. And then,
He's educated.
And then when I was talking, and I think some of those hawkers, the kopitiam, also know him, you know.
Oh.
And the same curry woman, he told me, you know, many years ago, I saw him. He was so smart. He was so smart, and he has a car. And he was a manager.
Oh. Oh.
But it turned around like that. Karma really.
Within a short span, things can become so bad. Like that one.
I guess that's the summary. Really have to take care of karma.
Take care of karma. Sadhu.
Not so fast, and you know, you cannot explain.
It turn become so bad very fast on, and they become like the karmic ones. Once the karmic repercussion come or the karmic friction arise, that being deteriorate very fast on and become like beyond recognizable. Like you say, very smart. Speak very good English, well educated, manager, recognized, all of a sudden end up like that. Some is because I also saw one outside our house here. He was a civil engineer, my senior actually. He was very happy earlier on, I think. Then many years back, I think easily 15 years back, he got, I think, 2 or 3 children, I think. Then his younger children, he got an accident with a lorry. You know. He was supposed to go down to Klang and fetch the girlfriend, then send the girlfriend back. Then on the way back, he got an accident with a lorry, you know, and he died. You know. And because of that, this person that my senior in MU, which I know him also, he become so badly affected. No, then after that, a lot of my JKR, because last time we were in JKR, my JKR colleague that also know him, they call me out. Then they say, we should go and see him and talk to him. Cannot, no way. That is the way he is coming. Because he is not in the mood to say anything. And his life become like completely gone. He is very successful in life. After he retired, he got pension. Then he was a consultant. Then he was cheerful, good life. Then the wife also, we know them. We know her. Then after that, he completely like lost his life. You cannot talk to him. You cannot even want to help or whatever. That's why finally, after that visit, we also end up concluding, just let things be, see how. But he's still around. But you look at him, really, he lost his life. From such a happy family, with such good condition, end up like that. Okay, we end. Let us rejoice with all the good sharing by Manyuan and also Chupolian. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we share merits. Akka, Satta, Chia, Bumata, Deva, Naga, Mahindika, Punyang, Tang, Anumoditwa, Chirang, Rakan, Tuloka, Sasana, Itta, Wata, Chamehi, Sampadan, Punya, Sampadan, Sabbe, Deva, Anumodantu, Sabasampati, Siddhya, Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Devo asatukalena sasasampati hetocha Vito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamina. Mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu. Yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Konyi Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.